Welcome. You are listening to another exclusive podcast from Pituitary World News. This is the JD Facinetti. Thank you for joining us. Today we are talking with Dr. Scott Struthers. Dr. Struthers is an endocrine scientist, founder, and chief executive officer of Crinetics Pharmaceutical. Crinetics is a small 25-person company based in San Diego, California, dedicated to the discovery and development of new drugs for people that suffer from endocrine disease and endocrine-related cancers. Since its founding in 2010, the company has focused its considerable expertise and energy to the discovery and development of small molecule drugs that selectively target G-protein coupled receptors known as GPCRs. Understanding precisely how these GPCR signals work has provided new, very exciting opportunities to develop agents that specifically target these receptors to overcome some of the issues and shortcomings experienced by current drugs. Currently, Crinetics is working on several small molecule, orally available drugs affecting acromegaly, neuroendocrine tumors, Cushing's disease, hyperinsulinism, and chronic pain. Crinetics' team of scientists and researchers have dedicated their careers to understanding how certain peptides and proteins called neuropeptides work with these G-protein coupled receptors to affect very precise controls over human physiology, and by doing so, have allowed the discovery and development of new drugs. We caught up on the phone with Dr. Struthers in his office in San Diego. We asked about his experiences as a scientist, the prospects for these new drugs, and his expectations for success. Welcome, Dr. Struthers. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. I thought maybe we'd get started with you giving us a brief rundown on your background and how you got interested in your line of work in endocrine science and how you got started with Crinetics.
Thanks, JD. I appreciate you having me here, and I'm looking forward to talking to all your listeners around the world with pituitary disorders.
Thank you. Great.
So my background is as a scientist, and particularly in endocrinology. And I got started on this as a freshman undergraduate at UC San Diego when I needed to pay my tuition, and I got a job working in a lab that was trying to understand how peptide hormones work at a chemical level. And I've been working in that area ever since, using that information and understanding biology to try and find ways of treating diseases related to these peptide hormones, particularly in the area of endocrinology and the pituitary, like the acromegaly and other pituitary diseases.
So tell us a little bit about Crinetics. How did that get started?
So Crinetics was founded by a group of us that had worked together for some years at another company, working in similar area, making diseases in that case for women's health. And we wanted now to do it on our own and continue these efforts in rare endocrinology. We started the company in the depths of the Great Recession, and we were able to get free equipment and supplies as other companies were shutting down, and it was cheaper to give it to us than it was to have somebody come up and throw it away.
Yeah.
And the NIH helped us, but it allowed us to start doing the type of science we'd always wanted to do and build the beginnings of drug discovery projects for acromegaly and other endocrine diseases.
So you are literally like an Apple story, from the garage to a company. No?
We had four garages filled with excess supplies from other companies before we ever opened our own lab.
That's great. So, well, let's get into the work that you're doing now. I was reading your press release that you have recently been awarded a sizable Small Business Innovation Research grant to develop an acromegaly drug candidate. This would be orally available non-peptide somatostatin agonist drug that sounds like a very good candidate to treat acromegaly. So can you tell us a little bit about the prospects of this oral drug, and where are you with this project?
Sure. Well, the NIH has been an important part of our success, allowing us to try new things and providing funding at times when there simply wasn't any funding available from the financial industry. But this grant is to develop a small molecule, non-peptide, orally available somatostatin for the treatment of acromegaly. As you know, right now, many acromegaly patients are treated with injectable depots, such as the one from Novartis called Sandostatin or Somatuline from Ipsen. And these have been great drugs and saved many people's lives, but they're painful. They only work in about half of the patients, depending on how a trial is designed. And we think we could do better. And so we're trying to make something that you could take as a once-a-day oral pill that would work in more patients than the injectables. And this is what we're trying to do. We need to test that hypothesis with clinical trials. Mm-hmm. We've made a molecule that we think is a good candidate. It's called CRN-808. It's the 808th molecule we made trying to get one that's going to work.
Hence the 808.
Yeah, 808. And this molecule now is in what's called a phase one clinical trial in healthy volunteers. So we are giving it to subjects as an oral solution. They are then monitored for safety, blood levels of the drug, but more importantly, the ability of the drug candidate to suppress growth hormone secretion and IGF-1 levels, which, as you know, is the main goal of controlling excess GH and IGF-1 in acromegaly patients.
Yes. So I'm sure patients, once you get to the phase, patients will be able to be great help to you, not only in feedback, but in the trial itself.
Absolutely. I mean, drug discovery is a partnership between scientists and doctors and patients. And without the patients helping and providing input and being willing to test these new agents, we can't get anywhere. And so next year, we'll be looking for the help of the community to evaluate these compounds in what's called a phase two clinical trial to see how well it controls acromegaly and also to see if it can help patients who aren't really well controlled with existing therapies. So we want to make something, we want to test its ability to help in patients that can be controlled, but maybe an oral is going to be a more convenient and acceptable solution instead of a intramuscular injection.
Yeah.
But also there's many patients who are not fully controlled on existing therapies, and we want to see if we can do better for that group.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. It sounds like a tremendous project and one that will be very well received by, I know, the acromegaly community.
Well, you know, I have friends with acromegaly, and I get it. So I hope it is accepted, and I hope we get a lot of help around the world.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. I'm wondering what the barriers or challenges are for this type of development work. And I'm assuming there are many as you move forward.
Yes, well, drug discovery, as you know, is incredibly hard process. Most projects fail, most molecules fail. But we've worked really hard to make a drug candidate that we think can succeed. And so we've overcome the early barriers about finding that molecule. Now it's about testing it and testing it with patients in later stage clinical trials. Mm-hmm. So the major barrier now will be how long it takes us to do that. And that's where patients can help by enrolling in clinical trials around the world and letting us figure out how well it works in relatively small numbers of people, mm-hmm. a few hundred, before we start giving it to acromegaly patients around the world. And then, you know, there's many, many thousands there.
Yeah, yeah. So jumping a little bit on some of the other work that you're doing, you also on your website recently announced some grants to develop non-peptide oral somatostatin agonists for congenital hyperinsulinemia, for which there's no current therapies, and the discovery of small drugs for Cushing's disease as well, or small molecule drugs. that which is also much needed therapy for patients. You describe this as an ongoing program. Can you tell us a little bit more where you are with these two projects?
Absolutely. So, you know, our discovery team and the scientists there are amazing. And now that they've got the 808 in the clinic for acromegaly, they're on to the next projects. And those are two that you just mentioned. The hyperinsulinism is a tragic childhood disease where children are born making too much insulin, which can cause severe hypoglycemia. That can lead to seizures, developmental disorder, and even death. And to treat that, they're willing, the line of treatment eventually leads to many subjects to pancreatectomy, where they surgically remove the pancreas and give them type 1 diabetes, which is, it is not the way it's not the type of medical therapy you want for your child.
Sure.
We're trying to come up with something better, and we've got now a drug candidate, works very well in rats, and we're just testing it in additional non-clinical studies so that we can test it with healthy volunteers and patients about this time next year. And in Cushing's disease, you know, is another pituitary disorder. It's not quite as common as acromegaly, but it can be much more life-threatening if not adequately controlled. And there we have a completely novel drug target. It's in the research stage, moving very quickly. I think that's going to be a very exciting program in another year or two. Just needs a little more time to let the discovery guys do their magic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have quite a contingent of our audience is their Cushing patients as well. So both acromegaly and Cushing's are the main interest of our audience. There's others as well. Your website also mentions, and this is something that is very interesting for acromegaly patients as well, because they suffer from pain, that you're working on a neuropathic pain project, I guess would be or discovery. Can you tell us a little bit about that and where that project is?
Yes, this came out of our initial project in acromegaly because we were trying to target one specific type of receptor for somatostatins called the type 2 receptor. And this is the mechanism by which we can control growth hormone secretion. But we found other molecules that could act at other somatostatin receptors, one of which is called the type 4 receptor. And this one is involved in pain transmission, in many ways similar to the opioid receptors like morphine,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't have the ability to be, it's not something that people would abuse or become addicted to.
Such an issue today.
It's a huge issue today, and we think we've got some molecules that at least in preclinical models look very efficacious in controlling various types of chronic pain.
Mm-hmm.
But now we need to spend a little time, optimize them a little bit further so that we can identify a drug candidate to move forward with.
Mm.
And so we're a small company. It's we've got about 25 people, so we could only do a couple things at a time.
At the time, so. Yeah. That's very exciting, I'm sure, in terms
yes.
of the prospects of, because of the impact that it have on pain and the acromegaly community that I know it's... It deals with that constantly. So
yes.
Yeah. So let me ask you also, one of the efforts we've undertaken is to try to inform and educate Congress and other, you know, politicians, state and local, about pituitary conditions. We hope that some of these unmet needs that are experienced by pituitary patients result in the timely approval of new treatments. And I know there's been a lot of discussion about that, and a lot of rare disorder patients are or organizations are involved in this. So do you have any views or any suggestions for patient advocates on how to communicate with these decision makers, or what the sort of things that they can do to help the access of new innovative treatment options for, you know, maybe today and in the future?
Yes. Well, I'm not a very political person, but I think it is important that the patient communities recognize that they need to have a voice in our public discourse. And the thing that you can do the most is to help bring these stories home. So when people making public policy or thinking about their decisions for, say, funding the NIH or the FDA, those are very abstract decisions. But when they have to look somebody in the eye who is suffering from a disease that could be helped by their decisions and their ability to support research or support the regulation of drug candidates, I think it helps them put their decisions in context. And so tell your story. Tell your story to your congressman. Tell your stories to social media. I'll tell you, beyond the political circles, it also helps the financial community understand the medical need and justify the investments from the private sector into developing and discovering new drugs.
Wonderful. Well, I know the work you do is fantastic. So anything that we can do to help you get it up in the media and discussed, and like you're saying, so people are aware of it, that's our goal as well. So
I think it's important to recognize that when we're talking about these endocrine diseases like acromegaly and Cushing's, that it's not just a disease we face in the United States, it's a global issue. And we're going to be studying and doing clinical trials around the world, so I hope the international community will be listening to you and the other advocacy groups and helping us in this development effort.
That is going to be very helpful to expose your trials and your development work to international, to global audiences. We're hoping to be able to translate a lot of our pages as well. So I'm assuming that international is something that you're very interested in.
Absolutely. And I hope to spend a lot of time next year and in the coming years traveling around the world, talking to patients that might be benefiting from our drug candidates so that I can understand what they need, so that they can understand what we're trying to do and how we can help each other in understanding and developing new drugs.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time, and I'm looking forward to more collaborations with you anytime we can help.
Well, I guess I enjoy talking to folks, and I hope that, you know, if any of your listeners or readers are in San Diego, that they'll give us a call, and happy to give them tours around the lab and show them how it really happens.
Yeah. Wish you the best of luck with all the work that you're doing. I know luck is not involved, but
there's some luck involved, believe me. But thank you, JD, and I hope to see you again soon, and many other members of the pituitary patient community, both at scientific meetings and patient meetings around the world.
Thank you, and look forward to it as well. You have been listening to an exclusive podcast from Pituitary World News. Remember to register for our previews and updates at pituitaryworldnews.org. This is Jorge Facinetti. Thank you for listening.